All right. Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here this morning for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024, and our catechesis today will continue in 1 Samuel. Hopefully my audio keeps working. It dropped out right at the beginning of the broadcast again today, so what I thought might have been the problem apparently is not. I will have to continue to investigate thoroughly, of course, reading crash logs, as you all like to do, right? Okay, good. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our psalm is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Okay, let's say our verse for the week. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. Our catechism is to citizens, or of citizens, the duties ascribed to us as citizens by God. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's, Matthew 22, verse 21. It is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Romans 13, verses 5 through 7. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. Titus 3, verse 1. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 14. All right, we'll continue in Colossians, now chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, having he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Oof, a lot going on there. I've been wrestling, that's probably the right word, with the elementary principles of the world, the basic principles of the world, in regards to, just kind of pursued a couple different things over time here, right? So sometime try to understand what was going on politically, now what's going on economically. The problem is that there are basic principles in the world. There is a what we call natural law, and there's also kind of the laws that we've instituted among men, which commandments and doctrines of men, they do have the illusion of being self-imposed religion. And so, especially when it comes to government, there's always this tendency to make it religious. And we're going to see this actually in our readings today and tomorrow, especially tomorrow from Samuel. So there's always this danger, and Paul is warning the church in Colossae to not get caught up in the things of this world and in natural law, right? Because these things have all been conquered by Christ. He triumphed over them in it, principalities and powers, even the heavenly things and the things that can be seen. So instead, he would have us not pay too much attention to the shadow of things to come, all the kind of mock religious things, the utopian visions of the status and of the economic planners, for example, because they're pale imitations of the real thing, which is the vision of heaven and the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, right? So all of the regulations and all the things of this world, we certainly are subject to them in a fleshy kind of way. So this is what we said when it came to citizens paying taxes. It's basically because the taxes don't matter and the money doesn't last. These things will all see death and decay. I know that's really hard for us who live in flesh and blood to act as if the flesh and the blood will be cared for by the Lord, even under ungodly and tyrannical rule, even under high taxation and these sorts of things. But that is part of what Paul is getting after here in with the church of Colossae, is that they're so caught up in the neglect of the body, so not caring for the body, but also in self-imposed religion, higher religion and regulations, that we run the risk of going both directions, in neglecting the body, or also acting as if everything is about bodily comfort and care, right? Whereas he would have us focus on what we have in Christ, that we were buried with him with baptism, we were raised with him through faith, he has given us the victory, it was nailed to the cross, or the handwriting of requirements was finished as it was nailed to the cross in his flesh and blood, and he has triumphed, all right? We'll, of course, dig into that quite a bit more deeply as we continue to study the book in Sunday morning Bible class. All right, our reading then for catechesis is from 1 Samuel chapter 7. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord. Serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and Ashtaroths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to him, to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, Thus the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, and for his home was there. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. All right. So if you remember yesterday, the ark was brought by the cart pulled by the two milking cows that had never been yoked, going against their nature. So at the direction of the Lord, we would say, bringing the ark to Kirjath, well, to Beth Shemesh, and then the Levites took it to Kirjath Jearim, if you remember. And it dwelt there 20 years. And so all the house of Israel lamented the Lord. Where is this Kirjath Jearim? That is a question. Let's see if we can find it, hopefully without crashing my audio again. Of course, nothing is opening. There it goes. Kirjath Jearim is a city in the land of it, mentioned 18 times in the Bible. Well, that's really helpful. It's still there. Also known as Kirjath Baal. It's placed about 9 Roman miles or 15 kilometers from Jerusalem, it says here. All right. So, and what happened during this time? During these 20 years and during this lament, they lamented to Israel, and so all the house sought after the Lord, and Samuel told the people what to do if they were repentant, right? Remember, this has always been about calling Israel to repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He has them put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths, the Baals and the Ashtaroths, right? So if we haven't seen a trend, there it is. All Israel is called to gather at Mizpah, and there Samuel promises to pray to the Lord for you. So this is that intercessory prayer of the priest, ultimately of Jesus, right? Notice the first thing they do when they come to Mizpah. They draw water and pour it out before the Lord. What a picture of baptism, right? Marking their repentance, returning to the cleansing that baptism gives, right? Just as our daily return to baptism does. Also, fasting and confession of sins is there, all at Mizpah, all right? So we could call the beginning of the service is returning to Mizpah, remembering our baptism, confessing our sins, and receiving absolution in the Lord, all right? But notice in the midst of their repentance, the Philistines come out against them as they would, because you're vulnerable when you confess your sins, aren't you? And so that's when spiritual attack may come and here physical attack. And the Israelites are, of course, afraid. Now that we've gotten rid of the Baals and Ashtaroths, who's going to defend us, right? So they turn to Samuel and tell him to cry out to the Lord for them. Keep crying out, actually. Keep on crying out that we may have rescue from the Philistines. Beautiful. And so he offers a sacrifice, as you do, a suckling lamb, right? Yeah, suckling lamb as a whole burnt offering. And then he cries out, and the Lord answers him, right? So we have the rescue that we that's promised here is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. As John the Baptist cries out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Beautiful, right? John 1. While Samuel's making the sacrifice, the Philistines come out for battle. I think this is an important lesson for us to remember, is that Satan and all those who operate under his authority, that is all the kingdoms of this world, they surround us and they attack when we are gathered around Christ and his gifts, right? So the attack comes not when we are lazy or complacent or when we are not inattentive, but it's precisely when we're being attentive to God's word, when we're crying out to him for prayer, when we are gathered together to receive his gifts that attacks come, right? And it's because the attack is actually on Christ and it's on his word and sacrament, the places he's promised to be, right? So don't forget that. Of course, the Lord hears their cries for prayer and he brings loud thunder that throws the Philistines into panic. The sun's out now. We had heavy rain earlier this morning. No thunder though, right? And now that they're in a panic, Israel, the men of Israel, notice, not the women and children, just the men, they go and pursue the Philistines and drive them back to Beth-Kar. Beautiful. And Samuel sets up that famous stone, the Ebenezer, the stone of our help, right? For the Lord has helped us, because the Lord has helped them so far. And we have this in one of our hymns, Christ is our Ebenezer, actually, the stone of our help. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. No, all other ground is sinking sand. To use his parable, all right? How long were the Philistines subdued? As long, it's actually the days of Samuel, in the days of Samuel, Samuel's lifetime, because the Lord's hand was against them, because the people were faithful, you see, and hearing God's word and receiving his gifts, living a life of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. we don't, I don't know that we honestly believe this today. There was a famous Reformed pastor that was on Tucker Carlson's show that he has now, his independent show, and talking about Christian nationalism. It doesn't matter what you think of that or even the name or the propaganda attached to it. We can talk about that a little bit if you want, but he made a great confession. He actually said that everything that we're experiencing in this world is a call to repentance, to turn to Christ, confessing our sins and living a life of forgiveness of sins. And it is actually in the forgiveness of sins that there will be amendment of life or even amendment for our nation. Now, whether or not you believe you can call a nation to repentance, that's his perspective as a Reformed person. He's more willing to do that than we are perhaps as Lutherans. But certainly individually, we can all live a life of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And that will bring about a change of life for us and for the life and life for those around us as well. Right. And I have no problem telling a civil ruler when they have gone against God's word. I actually do that. I email them, I send them a note, or I leave them a phone message, all right, to remind them to do their duty according to the scriptures, especially Romans 13. All right. With whom were the Israelites at peace then also? The Amorites. So God brought great civil peace for them in the midst of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. This is the point. This is the point. So as long as Israel hears Samuel, that is, hears God's ambassador, his messenger, in repentance, as long as Samuel is there to judge or to preach to them, they are continued in the Lord's safety. All right. So for 20 years, the ark has been absent from Shiloh as a sign of Israel's need to repent. Remember, it was captured back in chapter 4. Israel was clinging to the false gods of the land instead of the blessed Trinity. Finally, they heard the words of the Lord and trusted in him alone or only. Through Samuel, whose name means God has heard, the Lord heard the pleas of the people. The water was poured out before the Lord to mark them as his people who had been cleansed by him. So we, who have been baptized into Christ and washed clean of all sin, daily confess our sins and seek his mercy. Samuel offered the lamb to point to the Lamb of God through whom we have been delivered from all our enemies. Jesus is our Ebenezer, who has helped us thus far and will continue to help us. All right, good. Let's sing stanza 2 and 3, hopefully. Very good. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you. Let's do this one. Merciful Father, grant us faith to pray for the civil authorities and to trust that you will accomplish your good and gracious will through them. Teach us to live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, and to be ready to do whatever is good in service to others in our community and nation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray today for marriage and family, that husbands and wives, parents and children live in ordered harmony according to the Word of God. We pray for parents who must rear their children alone, and for our communities and neighborhoods. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Let's see. Today we pray in Thanksgiving with Ella celebrating her birthday, with Dale and Robert celebrating their baptism, with Don and Jean, Chad and Mindy, Dick, Julie, Angie, Matt, and Alexandria. Also pray for our catechumens, Wyatt, James, Aaliyah, Cole, Lydia, Charlie, Kaylee, Kimberly, Michaela, and Justin. Actually, Kaylee and Kimberly, they're still working on it. We also pray for those who are ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Dennis, Brad and Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, Carol, Mike, Doug, Ruth, Renata, Joan, Sandy, BJ, President Willie, and Phil. Pray for our homebound, Dan, Lenore, Joan, Paul, Dolores, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially that of Lutheran Heritage Foundation, our mission of the month. Also for the growing work of at Peace Valley Lutheran Church Mission Start in Greene County. And we pray for those grieving, especially the family and friends of Merlin and Dick. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right. A reminder, if you didn't already do it, please go and complete the online survey, the CADS survey. That'd be a great benefit to us. Not only members, but any of you watching or listening who are non-members, you're welcome to participate as well. We'd encourage you to do so. I'll put a link in the show notes, all right, or in the chat. All right. So God be with you all. Keep you safe. And we'll see you again. In the morning. Also tonight, Divine Service, 6:30 p.m. All right, so see you then. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org. That's stjohnrandomlake.org/support. And give today. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org. That's stjohnrandomlake.org/support and give today.